Hold on to summer with WBEZ at the Evanston Folk Festival this weekend. We're hosting tent talks with folk artists Bonnie Kolak, Sam Beam, Roseanne Cash, and more. Info at wbez.org/events. Good afternoon, I'm Susie Ahn, and this is The Rundown.
I am running for governor in 2026 to protect our story.
Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker made the official announcement today. He's the first Illinois governor to seek a third term in about 40 years. Governors aren't term limited here. He was elected in 2018 as the state recovered from a multi-year budget impasse. Pritzker says things are better now.
Because our story is now one of fiscal responsibility, of social accountability, of modern adaptability. Our story values love over hate, courage over fear, kindness over cruelty.
His Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton is running for U.S. Senate, and it's so far unclear who will join Pritzker on next year's ticket. New population estimates from the U.S. Census Bureau show a breakdown of Metro Chicago's population by race and ethnicity. A WBEZ analysis finds the area's Asian population growth continues to outpace changes for other racial and ethnic groups. Both the number of Asian and Latino residents grew from 2020 to 2024, while the number of white and black residents declined during the four-year period. The area's overall population has remained relatively stagnant in the last 4 years. Public transit agencies are watching as Illinois lawmakers try to find $1.5 billion to stave off a fiscal cliff and improve service. The tax would cover every delivery made in a motor vehicle from Amazon to food. Groceries and medication would be exempt. State Senator Ron Villavalam says other states have a similar tax, and a lot of people don't notice it.
More and more people are ordering online, and we've noticed from the other states that it doesn't change people's behavior. And in fact, the vast majority of deliveries are over $100.
Villavalam estimates the delivery tax would raise about $1.1 billion, but he says he'd entertain other ideas to get to that number. Lawmakers are not scheduled to come back to Springfield until October. Northwestern University is planning to reduce staff and make other cuts as it grapples with a federal funding freeze and rising costs. Administrators plan to freeze hiring and cut staff positions. An email to staff says Northwestern will stop bonuses next year, change the tuition benefits program, and switch health insurers from Blue Cross to United Healthcare. Faculty tell the Sun-Times they are upset the university has not included them in making these decisions. The Chicago Bulls drafted forward Noah Senge with the 12th overall pick in the NBA draft last night. The 18-year-old comes from France and stands at 6'9". Bulls general manager Marc Eversley says Senge is still early in his development, but believes he has unlimited potential. And as a rebuilding team, that fits within the Bulls' timeline.
We are in transition. Over the next 18 months, through the draft tonight, free agency, and with financial flexibility coming in 2026, we believe we are setting ourselves up to take meaningful steps forward. We know we have a lot of work to do. We know it's frustrating when change doesn't happen overnight, but we've seen encouraging growth from our young core, and we're going to keep pushing.
The second round of the draft will take place tonight. At the moment, the Bulls hold the 15th pick in the second round. Juan Hernandez was just a teenager when he went away to prison. He was in his 30s before he earned his high school diploma. To get there, he had to fight through wait lists, denials, and administrative barriers. And he's not the only one. In Illinois, thousands of men and women have been unable to access education in prison because of the length of their sentence. Reporter Charlotte West from Open Campus brings you Juan's story.
I cover education in prisons, which means a lot of the time I'm covering a lack of education. People tell me all the time about waiting for their chance to learn, waiting for a spot to open up in the GED program, waiting for a college to come to their prison, waiting to be within 5 years of their release date so they can move up the wait list. So when I came across Juan Hernandez's story that his friend posted on Instagram, I wasn't surprised. Juan was sentenced to prison when he was 16. He spent the next 18 years fighting to get his high school education. That was more than half his life at that point. It's incredible. But like I said, I hear about waiting a lot. What stood out to me about Juan's Instagram post was that he had a paper trail. All the letters he wrote to prison officials asking to be allowed to take the GED, and all of their responses. It's a clear window into an opaque process that holds a lot of incarcerated people back. So today, I want you to hear from Juan, in his own words. He's still in prison, so we asked Jomar Lopez, a voice actor who spent time locked up alongside Juan, to read Juan's words. Let's start with Juan as a person. Juan wrote that when he was a kid, he liked school a lot.
I can recall jumping in the air with excitement when I learned that I'll be starting kindergarten. By the time I reached sixth grade, everything changed. It seemed like street games were everywhere and had unfortunately set their sights on me. This new life scenario followed me throughout high school, where instead of worrying about a test, I worried about making it home alive.
Juan got caught up surviving the streets of Chicago. When he was 16, he committed a crime that landed him a 45-year sentence. He celebrated his next birthday behind bars.
It was hell and inhumane being a 17-year-old in prison. I spent the first few years in segregation because I couldn't adjust to the rules and environment.
Eventually, he started asking about school, and he got more interested in it when he kept getting denied.
I realized education might be a way forward when the administration was adamant in keeping it from me.
It took more than a decade before Juan got some hope about getting his education. He was transferred to a new prison. He thought that might offer a fresh start. But he was assigned to a housing unit that was barred from taking classes. It meant 1,000 men were completely shut out of education, including Juan. So he waited, hoping to be transferred to another unit that would allow him to pursue a high school diploma. But another 2 years went by. So in November of 2015, he wrote a letter to his counselor, Ms. Price.
I've been incarcerated from the age of 16. I'm 32 now. I would like the opportunity to get my GED. I would like to know if you could help me out and get a move to a cell house where they do allow inmates to get their GED.
Ms. Price wrote back that the decision to bar certain units was, quote, an administrative decision. She didn't offer anything else. So Juan filed a complaint, known as a grievance. Months later, an officer deemed the grievance moot. He used the same language as the counselor. He wrote that barring certain units was, quote, an administrative decision. Again, no more explanation. So Juan pushed other people on his cell block to file their own grievances. He knew that this kind of thing could get him labeled a gang member because he was organizing fellow prisoners. But he thought it was worth it if he could help 1,000 men get an education. Still, no progress. So he launched a hunger strike. Prison staff took him to segregation, where he had nothing but a blank wall to stare at.
When meals were passed out, the officer would come to the cell and ask me if I would accept the tray. I'd ask if the GED program was being offered in East House yet, and he'd just walk off.
One day, Juan thought he was going to the healthcare unit for a vitals check, but they strapped him to a chair and tried to force feed him.
I ended this fight when they started shoving a tube down my throat.
A few months later, the prison administration transferred him to yet another prison. The first thing he did, write to the education department asking to enroll in the GED program.
I was incarcerated when I was 16 years old and never got the opportunity to finish high school. I'm now 33 years old and have been on wait list this whole time. I beg you to please break this cycle of waiting list I've been on so that I may finally earn my education.
The prison's educational facilities administrator, Mr. Wood, responded in writing the next day, telling him he'd been added to the wait list. Do not go to SEG, he wrote, basically warning Juan not to get into any more trouble. Finally, progress. But months passed, so Juan wrote again.
I know short-timers here are a priority, but please keep me in mind. I'll only be there for the shortest time possible and pass the test on my first attempt.
Shortly after Juan wrote that letter, he was finally enrolled in GED classes. In 2018, he took the GED test. Just as he promised in his letter to Mr. Wood, he passed on the first try. Juan was glad the fight was over, but it wasn't until he had time to reflect on his victory that he appreciated what it truly meant.
What I didn't realize is how much the knowledge retained in acquiring that piece of paper would play in my future. Having an education gave me the insight to create amazing opportunities for myself.
Juan was 18 years into his sentence when he was finally allowed to take this first tiny step towards rehabilitation. It's been 7 years since then. He's still waiting to get into college.
That's Charlotte West reporting from our partner, Open Campus, a nonprofit newsroom that covers higher education. In a statement, a spokesperson for the Illinois Department of Corrections says increased education staffing in recent years has made it possible for more people to complete the GED program. The department estimates the average wait time to get in is less than 3 months. The excerpts of Juan's writing in that story were read by actor Homar Lopez from the Mud Theater Project. You can see all of the documents from Juan's fight to get an education at WBEZ.org. Weather-wise for us, daytime highs near 90 degrees across the region. We could see some showers and thunderstorms this afternoon into the evening with a low around 73. For Friday, a high around 85 degrees with a chance for showers and thunderstorms and a low around 78. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Susie Ahn. Thanks for listening.